All right, that looks a little better. They're still taking up the offering on the back row when the music stopped. Generally, the music, they take it up a lot quicker than the music can play. And while I joke about it a lot, I seriously will say to you folks, we are hurting. I don't know why it is that October hurts the worst in our offerings, because, well, I don't know. It does. And then Christmas runs at a close second, because Santa Claus gets the money that I think belongs to the Lord sometime around Christmas time. So that don't do us good. But anyway, sometimes folks will read in our bulletin, say, boy, it's a big offering. You ought to see where it goes and how it don't stretch over everything. All right. I'm going to finish up the subject I started last week. I started teaching last week on the subject of demons. And so I'm going to ask you to go with me, I think, to Luke chapter 11. I may have read some out of that, but I'll start there. And keep your Bible handy, because we're going to try to maybe run some scriptures. Sister Carlisle, who was it? Sister Thomas turned me this in this morning, and I see some of these, but this is an update on here in Florida, in Lake County, where the little city of Jupiter, where this guy was trying to force them and still trying to force them into letting him come in and have a satanic invocation at the commission meeting. And I am glad, according to this article, the commissioners are fighting back. And Liberty Council, we send a little bit of money every month to Liberty Council, because they're a team of Christian lawyers. You read their name, you'll see them on TV every now and then, fighting for the cause of Christ. And so they've gone to the commission, and I know what they do. They take these cases free. So they're resisting this guy. And I like what this one commissioner says. Says, we don't want to fight, but we aren't going to preemptively surrender to this guy. He is not going to give a prayer to Satan while I'm here. Never, never. I like that. We need some backbone in our country anymore, don't we? Instead of just caving into all this stuff that comes by. I want to talk to you a little bit more on the subject here of demons, devils. King James calls them devils, which identifies what a demon is. Many translations use the word demons. Of course, they don't understand, but the King James translators was telling us what a demon is. He's a devil. And he's part of the devil's crew, of course, so we can figure this one out pretty easy. Now, I'm just going to point out a few things about them. Here in chapter 11 of Luke, if you'll open up, let's read a little bit of a lengthy passage here, beginning in verse 14. By the way, the Bible has all we need to know about the subject. You try to go beyond, and certainly if you violate what the Bible tells you to do, which is to not mess with that stuff, you try to learn a little bit more about it. And even I've known people that thought they were going to study it out and with a good motive. Next thing you know, they got enticed into it. And it is possible to. Now, I may say before I get through this morning, I may give you a verse showing that I do not believe that a Christian, a believer, genuinely born again, saved person, not just talking about church members, talking about somebody really saved, really born again, you'll never be possessed by the devil. But I'll tell you what you can be. You can get backslidden enough to be influenced by him. Amen. And messed up in a lot of ways by him. I'll certainly say that. But with all that said, people get into it by messing with such things as fortune telling, Ouija boards, even Halloween decorations. Somebody recently said they kept their Halloween decorations up almost all year. I said, buddy, that's a dangerous thing. Because unbeknownst to you a lot of times is the fact that symbols often open the door to the underworld of the other world, the world you can't see but is out there. And I don't think most of you would want to put a sign in front of your house, "We don't have any guns here." I wouldn't want to put one like that. In fact, one time I had two bad bulldogs, and I still got the sign up says I got one. I just hadn't had time to take it down. You won't catch me putting a sign outside, "Come on in, we don't have any guns." That's stupid, isn't it? But that's what the liberals would like for us to do. I wouldn't put up a sign then saying the devil's invited in either. And so you can have certain decorations that you might say, "Oh, they're innocent." Uh-huh, maybe so, but maybe they didn't start that way. I can't get off in it because it'd take too much time. But a lot of things associated with Halloween had their beginning as communications to the evil spirits. Jack-o'-lantern, anybody know every jack-o'-lantern, kind of fun thing, maybe with the kids? But you read about that fella named Jack that's supposed to be in that lantern. You'll find out where he started out was on the devil's side of stuff. And so you got to be careful with that. And people, I'm not getting to my subject real good here, but people like myself and others that have had to deal with people entrapped in this mess, I find out almost every time something in their house, something in their music, something in some way or another has opened the door for the evil side to get a toehold, to get introduced into their life, and sometimes even into their homes. I don't want to mess with that much right now. Luke chapter 11, let's pick it up in verse 14. "And he," talking about Jesus, "was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out that the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, 'He casteth out the devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils.'" Now, this is a name you run across in the Bible, Beelzebub. Actually, if you go as far back as to the plagues that hit Egypt, where Moses had the contest with Pharaoh, you'll discover that one of the, and all those plagues that God brought on Egypt had to do with a particular so-called god that the Egyptians worshiped. For instance, when God made it dark across the land, he was showing he had more power than their sun god, which was one of their main gods. When he put the flies, were connected with this name Beelzebub. Beelzebub, god of the flies. What'd God do? He gave those Egyptians more flies and more frogs than they ever wanted to see, right? He was showing his superiority over their false gods. And Beelzebub was the god of the fly. Now, if you want to see something ugly, get you a fly and put him under a microscope. That's why I was born in the country, and a lot of houses didn't have screens till later on, and there was a barnyard out back, which is a breeding place for flies, but my mother could afford a fly flip. And we kids had a main job, and that was, especially as it got close to cooking and eating, you get the flies killed. I have killed a many house fly with a fly flip. But I learned later on, when I got into studying later on into some entomology and stuff, I learned how ugly and nasty those things were. And Mother was right. She didn't want one swarming around. And I'll guarantee if the food was on the table and a fly, we stopped everything till we got that fly. Now you say, "Well, that's just over extreme." Uh-huh. But if you look at one under a microscope, that's the filthiest thing. All the hairs on his legs collect the filth. He has coming out of his mouth a snout. And if you will, you know what a plunger is when you unstop the commode in the restroom? All right, you imagine that with the small end coming out of the fly's mouth, and it has a suction on the bottom of it. When he lands on your sandwich, before he ever sucks any of it up, he puts what he already had in him out. I'll ruin your lunch if I can here, but you need to know about it. What comes out of him starts the digestion on the spot of the food where he is landed. And then he sucks it back up. Now, you know, Beelzebub was a dirty, false demon god. And that's what is in the text right here, Beelzebub. Talking about that. And there are others. That's why God calls them unclean spirits, too. They're unclean. And they do spread disease and all of that business. All right, I got off on that a little bit. Move on down with me here in the reading. So they accuse Jesus of using the devil's power to cast out the devil. Makes about as much sense as most liberal news does today. Verse 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Oh, they always stayed after Jesus, give us a sign. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divideth itself against itself, is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Some folks think Abe Lincoln said that. He didn't say it first, Jesus did. And he may have used it some. What we got in America is this very thing, by the way, a house divided against itself. Right. But here, Jesus is teaching if Satan was divided against himself, Satan wouldn't cast out Satan. That's just common sense. You read on down. Verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? And by the way, they did, many of them, into some of that superstitious, mystic stuff, did some things by the devil's power. How many of you remember when Moses and Aaron came in before Pharaoh and threw their staffs down and they became serpents, all of a sudden the magicians of Pharaoh could duplicate it. And for a while that went on until God showed who was the real God. Right. The devil has limited power. It's limited by God, but he can do some things. And so this crowd that was trying to trip up Jesus, some of them was into this thing of using the devil's power. So he says, in verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now he goes ahead and gives the illustration of the strong man, and talking about if Satan would not let the Lord come in and conquer him if he could help it. But I want to say a few things. I reviewed just a little bit last week on this thing. We don't really know. There's some theory and debate as to the origin of demons, but we do know they are under the rule of Satan. You have fallen angels, you have different levels of authority or power in the structure that Satan is the top one over. We understand that, should understand it. If you want to really spend a lot of time and get even more puzzled, if you can find a good copy, and it's hard to find a good copy of the old book of Enoch, because everybody has tried to rewrite it, make it say what they want it to say, but it's an ancient book. It's as old as Bible books. It probably was originally given to Enoch, and Enoch is mentioned in your Bible, a quote from him in the little book of Jude. But Enoch has quite a bit on the levels of angels, good and bad, and of devils. And is it totally accurate? No, it's been messed up. That's why it's not in the Bible. It's not a Bible book. It shouldn't be in there. But a lot of theory goes on concerning the origin, and I'm not going to deal with that too much. But what I do want to say to you is that demons, and I said it last week, demons always in the Bible recognized who Jesus was. They never, ever, like the liberals today, tried to say he was not the Son of God. Right. They always identified him as who he was, the very Son of God. Look with me in Mark chapter 8, verse 29. We're in Luke now. Go back over to your left, and let's try to pick up Mark. And you'll find it quick as me. I don't have mine marked either, but Mark chapter 8. And we'll pick it up in verse, I believe I'm looking for verse 29. No, I'm not. Let's go to Matthew 8:31, see if I get any better there. Matthew 8:31. Okay, this is the story where he casts the demons out, and they go into the herd of swine. And I think I used this last week, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, the demons did now, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They knew who he was. "Art thou come hither?" That means, have you come down here to earth to torment us before? And here's the definite article, the, T-H-E, before the time. So they know there's a time coming. They're going to face final torment. They go into the lake of fire. They understand that. But they're saying to Jesus, and by the way, see, they're arguing the scripture against him. You can't do this ahead of time. That we know there's a time out there coming. We know what our destiny is, but you can't do it ahead of time. And of course, he didn't send them to the pit at that time. They requested to go in a herd of swine, and he let them go into that herd of swine. By the way, that's a pretty sad commentary on humanity. When the demons show the disrespect for humanity to the point they'd just soon be in a hog, in a swine, as in humans. And by the way, they don't have a lot of respect. I mentioned to you, and I can't ever get on the subject without it popping in my mind, I mentioned to you the girl that was full of the demons that Dr. Jack Hudson cast out, and had the video of it when it took place in his office. And the voices of a sweet voice, kind little teenage girl, about 18 maybe, I'm just guessing, 18, 17, 18, 19 in that area. When her voice had changed to the different demons that spoke out of her, it was a hard thing to listen to. And the vulgarity that you have on the streets today, and you have in the rap music today, on the TV today, that's the language they spoke, which tells you where it came from. Right. It came from the devil's side. But anyway, just the tone of their voice showed their disdain for human beings. One case, I remember, one of the youth leaders that was in the office with the preacher spoke up. He about got in trouble because the preacher kept holding the demon's feet to the fire with the blood of Jesus and taking command of them. But the youth pastor spoke up. He wished he hadn't. After he did, he spoke up, and the demon zeroed in on him. And the one that was talking at the moment. And it went like this. The youth pastor spoke up and said, he said something like this, "Don't you know Jesus died on the cross," or words to that effect. And the demon said, "You make me sick. I was there. I saw the whole bloody thing." And he said that with such disdain, scared the youth guy to death. The demon went on at him, and he said to the youth leader, "You're not what you pretend to be." But basically, he went on the trend of, "I know some bad things on you." And it just scared that youth leader to death there for a minute. And the preacher finally took back over and got in control with the proper words he ought to be using. See, we don't have any power against the devil ourselves. We don't scare him one little bit. If we don't come at him through the name of Jesus and through the shed blood, you don't have any authority at all. And they disdain you. They're not afraid of you, not one little bit. And that's reality, folks. You'll read it not only in the scripture, but all human experience with it will also say the same thing. But demons recognize Christ as the Most High God. The book of James says the devils believe and tremble. Sure. That's why just believing in God don't save you. Just believing in God's not going to get you to heaven. You got a real opposition out there in the devil. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I hope you got this passage pretty well in your mind. You need to understand something. Even if you're born again, saved, trying to serve God, The more you try to serve God, the more you'll come to this reality. And I sure have through my long years of preaching and trying to serve the Lord. That is this. We're always, always in a struggle against the devil. You know, the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. We forget that sometime, and if we win one little battle, we think it's over. It's not over. He's going to come at you from another direction. So in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." We think we do. And often we do in the sense that the devil takes over somebody else and uses them. But we always need to look beyond the flesh and blood that's coming against us and look at the spirit behind it, which is the devil. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Now, that might translate into City Hall. It might translate into Washington, D.C., principalities and powers, but what's behind it? What's behind it is bigger. And we're always, as it were, playing chess with the devil. He's against us all the time. We're in a struggle against him all the time. So the principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, that is exactly the domain of Satan and of his devils. The rulers of the darkness of this world. But here's a thing that we need to also understand. Satan needs human minds, human bodies, to do his work on earth. Jesus needs human minds, human hearts, human bodies. We've sang the little song in Sunday school, you know, about our hands and our feet belonging to the Lord Jesus, and that he can use us. Well, that's what the missionary does when he goes to the field. That's what we do when we knock a door or help somebody or witness to somebody or do God's work. We're trying to give him a human body to use. But the devil loves to get a human body and use it too. And while we limit God in a sense of not surrendering our bodies to be used, some folks, maybe somewhat unknowingly, actually lend their bodies to the devil to use. I'm talking to you about what is reality, where the tire meets the road, that we can see. "Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world." And here we go, "against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, it's higher than Washington, D.C. No doubt Washington, D.C.'s crowd, especially in our day, is being used of the devil in a great way. Many governments are. It is an interesting thing if you study human government. Talk about symbols. Almost every government in the world used a symbol of a ferocious beast or some symbol of violence. Russia, it's a bear. I don't want to meet a bear if I don't have a big gun. Amen. What's America? So America's a good country. What are we represented by? A bird of prey, an eagle. And go right on down the line. The lion. England, a lion. L-I-O-N. What nation do you know of that uses a dove for a symbol? You don't know one, do you? I don't either. How about one that's got a sheep or a lamb? I don't know one either. That shows the nature that the devil has cultivated even in men. We have a football team. What do we call them? Some of them are called devils. Some of them are called lions. What are they called? You can think of a bunch of bears. Yeah. When I named our football team years ago, this discussion came up, what we were going to call them. And I named them the Patriots because I didn't want to name them after one of those ferocious animals. Now, man's nature is that way. Now you say, well, that's just the, I understand, but sometimes we find ourselves walking the satanic path without knowing it. and doing some things that just wouldn't fit in if we think about it. Anyway, we are in a war, Ephesians 6:12. When I got a little more time, I may talk about that to you, preach a little bit more on it. I've done that before. But demons are in a continual contest with believers. We need to understand that. And let me get to this. I said I'd show you a while ago. Scripture tells us we can't be possessed. I'll show you a verse. Go to 1 John. Go over toward Revelation. Go over to 1 John. Pick it up in chapter 4. And you might want to mark this, because sometimes I have believers coming to me wondering if they've been demon-possessed. No. Your husband might think so, or your wife might think so, but not likely. Not if you're saved, if you're really saved. Now, all joking aside, it's a serious thing. The devil gets you to mentally thinking wrong about things. The more mentally that you turn from God and get you thinking confused, the more power the devil has over you. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit. Little s spirit, but bare spirits. But try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many, what? False prophets are going out in the world. Now, wait a minute. It's talking about spirits and false prophets. You know what's in a false prophet? A bad spirit. A demon, devil spirit. So he's going to prophesy falsely, teach falsely. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, capital G. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Hey, this is a test you can use. When you have somebody you're talking to about the Lord and they're not right on Jesus Christ, they got the wrong spirit speaking out of them. When they won't admit that Jesus was the Son of God, even the devils do that, because they couldn't lie to him to start with. They say, we know you're the Son of God. Don't torment us before our time. But you have people denying what the devils will not even deny. I have knocked on doors before and had, I remember one guy, early part of my ministry, shocked me so much. He come to the door and I spoke with him a minute, seemed like a decent kind of guy, nice enough house. And he said, I want to tell you up front, I don't believe Jesus Christ was God or the Son of God. Now, who spoke back to me out of him was the wrong spirit. And that's a test verse right here that'll tell you in a hurry about it. And go on down, it explains itself. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Got it? And this is that spirit of what? Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. Boy, is it in the world. You hear a news program all the time, you find out it's in the world. Amen. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now here's a protective verse for the believer. If you're saved. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome what? The bad spirits. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got it? Holy Spirit lives within a born-again believer. He is greater than the evil spirits. Amen. And he's not going to let you... You think the Holy Spirit's going to open the door and say, come on in, devil, we'll share this body together? No, 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 no. No, he's not. And while the devil can influence and wreak havoc in a backslidden Christian's life that's into sin, he still can't come in and shove the Holy Spirit out. Amen. So there is your answer. Can a devil possess a Christian? Not a real Christian. Not a real Christian. He can't do that. Now, so much on the subject, but I want to quit on it today, but be very careful. And I know some guys that have tried to make a ministry, and some of it's become faked and caused a lot of discredit to the cause of Christ. But be careful that you don't think you have power and authority you don't. Don't become a demon hunter. Don't become one searching for the devil. you may find him in the wrong way. Amen. I want you to go to Acts chapter 19. I'll finish up with this. I got about 3 minutes here, four. Finish up with this. Go to Acts chapter 19, tremendous story, starting in verse 13 of Acts 19. This is during the early forming of the church as it grows and transitions in the book of Acts, and Paul, of course, is one of the main players. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, not believers now, they don't believe in the Messiah, vagabond Jews, exorcists. That's the word now you get out of Hollywood, and you've had the movie by that name and so forth. Exorcists, kicking out devils. Exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. Religious group now. Religious group. Religious Jews here. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's what happens to people that think they got some power with God when they don't have. Amen. This exorcist business is in the news quite a bit. And you got to watch out. You got to watch out for that kind of foolishness. Don't go searching. One night about midnight, I got a phone call and some people I knew, good Christians. Good Christians do some stupid things sometime. Amen. And good Christian called me and said, we've got this girl, and I knew the girl. She's got a demon in her. We're going to bring her by your house right now for you to cast the demon out. That's the life of a preacher sometime, folks. Now, they did, and I tried to be nice to them. I knew the girl. She didn't have no demon in her. She might have had the devil in her general sense in her. She wasn't possessed. But she probably thought she was herself. It's amazing how people just have some false expectations. If she'd have been doing right every other way, she wouldn't have been thinking maybe the devil was in her. But they brought her in, and I think my wife got up with me, and we sat in the living room, and they wanted that demon to manifest himself to me. So she sat there and looked me in the eye, and I looked her in the eye, and she said, he's coming out in a minute. He never come out. I'm glad he didn't, but I don't believe he was ever there. Bunch of junk can get going, stuff like that. And by the way, don't bring me one if you think you got him. Go to somebody else. All joking aside, I have dealt with one or two real cases. And I'll tell you one thing. I learned enough you don't go looking for them. You don't pull this trick here that I just read to you in Acts 19. It is real on the other side. And the best thing for you and I to do is plead the blood of Jesus against it. Stay away from it. And be careful we don't think we're somebody we're not, like these fellows. Well, we know Jesus and we know Paul. No, you didn't really know them, but the demons knew them. Right. And knew these guys were faking. Amen.